The gift of tongues has been a battleground for a long time. Some say it proves you're filled with the Spirit, so you'd better have it. To help clear up confusion, let's focus on what actually happened in the first century and discover why the gift of tongues was given and what kind of tongues they really were. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues his new series that tells us what happens when God is first. He's teaching us from Acts chapter 2 that God used a special gift of tongues to announce that the gospel was now open to all.
God is reversing Babel. Sin divides, and so at the Tower of Babel, you remember, they all spoke one language and they were all united, and God said, I don't like what you're doing, and he gave the gift of tongues there. Suddenly people started to speak in languages that they had not been brought up in, and so this language group had to go in this direction, and this language group had to go in that direction, and God says, I'm scattering you throughout the earth because you can't understand each other. You're going to have to belong to your own little tribe. God says in the second chapter of Acts, what I am doing now is to show how the Spirit is going to unite, how the Spirit is going to be the great equalizer. And from now on, all the nations of the earth will be hearing God's holy word. I'd like to make four or five observations regarding the passage that we have just read. First of all, number one, they all spoke actual languages. Actual languages. They're listed there for us. And you know what it says in verse 8? It says, then how is it that each of us hears them in his own? The Greek word is dialecto. What does that sound like? Dialecto. In his own dialect. Now, most of these people, I'm sure, understood Aramaic, which was a derivative of Hebrew. As they went throughout the land and they talked among their families, they used Aramaic. But all of them growing up in different countries obviously would be bilingual. And what they're saying is, we're hearing the good news of God spoken in languages of our birth, our particular dialect. And furthermore, we're hearing it from Galileans. And they always said that the Galileans were largely uneducated, and because of the way in which they talked, they found it very difficult to form words in other languages. These are Galileans, and we're hearing them speak our own dialect. So these were actual languages. Second, apparently they didn't need interpreters. And there are two ways to understand this. One might be that Peter stands up. He's not learned a word of Egyptian in his lifetime, but he's standing up and he is preaching in the language of the Egyptians. And so they all gather around him and they say, come here, Peter. He's talking our language. So those folks gather in one group. And then John stands up and he's speaking the Cretan language, which he never learned. But they're saying, John is preaching in our language. Let us, who are Cretans, go over there. And so you have these different groups gathering, and maybe that's why they didn't need interpreters. But there's something else in the text that maybe happened. We can't be sure. Maybe there was a miracle that took place in their hearing. Because you'll notice it says, if I may read it one more time, verse 8, how then is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? I can just imagine that Peter is standing up and speaking Egyptian, and suddenly all the different language groups, there's a miracle that's taking place in the way in which they hear it. They are hearing it in their own dialect, even though he is speaking in a different dialect. Maybe that's what happened. So there was two miracles, the miracle of tongues and the miracle of hearing. But apparently they did not need interpreters when God was doing this. There's a third observation, and that is this. Every time now that you have the gift of tongues in the book of Acts, there are Jews who are present who are being reminded of the fact that the gospel is now going out to the Gentiles. If we had time, I'd take you to Acts chapter 11. Exhibit A of what I've just explained to you. You remember Peter, he doesn't know that he doesn't even want to go to the Gentile Cornelius. God has to give him a special vision to let him know that these Gentiles are not unclean, that they are being included in the program and the plan of God. So, reluctantly and believing he's heard God correctly, he sets out and he goes and he visits Cornelius, who is a God-fearing man, explains the gospel to him. Cornelius believes, and the gift of tongues is received. When Peter gets back to Jerusalem, the first thing that he gets is criticism. Why are you going to those Gentiles? You know that the gospel is supposed to stay within the Judaistic community. You know what Peter says? He says, when it was explained to them that they also received the same gift as we, then they held their peace and they said, well, God then also has granted to the Gentiles the gift of life. Acts has several stories of speaking in tongues. There may have even been more stories than the book of Acts records. Because during this transitional period, God says, I want to give you some shock and awe to show you that the gospel is for everyone. When Peter gives an explanation, by the way, he's quoting the prophet Joel, because they're saying, many people, the scoffers are saying, these people are drunk. Well, that's an interesting assessment. I've never known a drunk person to speak accurately a language he has never heard. I've heard a drunk person speak, but it was something else that was going on there. But he says, this was what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And he talks about the spirit coming, and he says, I will show wonders in heaven above and on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. What's going on there? Notice that Peter does not say this fulfills Joel's prophecy, because there are things in this prophecy that did not happen. There are things in this prophecy that refer to the future coming of the kingdom. What Peter is doing is he's saying, this should not surprise you that these people are speaking in tongues, because there are prophecies in the Old Testament that when the Messianic era comes, when the era of Messiah comes, there will be an outpoured spirit. And most assuredly, these other signs will take place in the millennial kingdom, in preparation for what we call the millennial kingdom. But the Holy Spirit's coming to his people, which began back there, the last days are at least 2,000 years long, and maybe longer. This is an indication of the kind of thing that God does. And in the future, the rest of the prophecy will come to pass. But I want you to notice today, folks, that it is again to verify the fact that God is going to everyone. And Peter ends his quotation by saying, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let me give you a fourth observation. This understanding of the gift of tongues helps to explain why the gift essentially died out after the time of the apostles, and for centuries the church did not experience this gift. Wouldn't it be wonderful if God would have continued the gift? I think, for example, of those who work in Wycliffe Bible translators. I mean, they're agonizing over the text. They've got informants who are trying to help them to understand the language. Wouldn't it be wonderful if Kathy Kreckel, who is one of the missionaries with Wycliffe, could just walk in and go to a brand new tribe and begin to speak their language? Boy, that would sure cut out a lot of hassle, wouldn't it? But God decided not to do it that way. Having made his point that the gospel is for everyone, the gift very quickly died out. It's referred to in Corinth, which is a cosmopolitan city with a cosmopolitan church where you'd have Jews and others present. It's not mentioned in the other epistles. Nowhere in the Bible are we ever commanded to speak with tongues. Paul only indicates how it is to be regulated, and basically it dies off the scene, except that it reappears in America in the early 1900s in Los Angeles during a revival meeting. And if I might say in great humility, but also with great respect, it surfaces in a way that is quite different from the New Testament. There you have people speaking ecstatic languages, which linguists have tried to analyze and have discovered is not a language at all. You have people, bless them, who are doing interpretation, who do not understand the words that are being said. I've spoken to several people who interpret, and I've said, now, do you actually understand what's being said? They said, no, we just discern the message through the Spirit, and then we go with that. Well, my dear friend, why even bother then with the gift of tongues? Just discern the message that the Spirit is giving you and speak it. In the New Testament, tongues were always a language. Always a language. And when Peter preached the gospel, as he did here in Acts 2, as far as we know, he was not speaking in a tongue. He was speaking in Aramaic. And the people would have by and large been able to understand him because, as I mentioned, they were bilingual. And he preached the wonderful works of God and the gospel, and many, many people were converted. Now, I've not answered all of your questions about tongues, but at least I've given you the contours, the clear lines. Let's talk now about the control of our tongues and what this means for us. You read the New Testament and you discover that this battle for the tongue is almost on every page of the New Testament. Because on the one hand, Satan wants to control people's tongues. And in the New Testament, we have stories of Jesus going to those who were inhabited by spirits, and the spirits spoke through people's tongues. You say, does that happen today? Yes, that happens today. I've heard people speak under the inspiration and the control of demonic spirits. It happens today. It happens today in all the different religions of the world. Tongues is a phenomena that can be found in many, many pagan cultures. So on the one hand, you have the devil who wants to control your tongue. You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, I'm sure glad that I don't have a demon in me. I'm glad you don't. But now we're getting to pay dirt. You still may be doing the devil's work for him, though. Well, that's something to think about for the rest of the day, isn't it? This is Pastor Lutzer, and yes, it is possible for us to do the devil's work. For example, the Bible says in Timothy, Paul writes, he says, let the wives of deacons not be devils. That's literally what it says. Of course, our translations translate it slanderers, but that's what the devil is. Bottom line, when we slander other people, we are doing the devil's work, because the devil is a slanderer. So we don't have to be demon-possessed to do that which is evil and to use our tongues in the wrong way. Well, as we conclude today, why don't we take out time to say, Lord Jesus, right now, I want to give you my tongue, and I want to use it for your honor and for your glory.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Dr. Erwin Lutzer has brought part two of He Owns Our Tongues, the second message in his series, When God is First, taken from the Book of Acts. Running to Win comes to you from Chicago's Moody Church to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. When God is First is a series designed to help all of us order our priorities. All 8 messages can be yours on CD, cassette, or MP3. For full information, call toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about When God is First. Visit our website at runningtowin.org. And don't forget, Running to Win is supported by listeners like you. This is Dave McAllister. How do we control our unruly tongues? To find out, join us Monday for our next Running to Win.